appreciate your love, and we just appreciate all that you've done for us. And the opportunity to gather here freely this morning is something that we don't take for granted. And Lord, we just ask that you would see fit to meet with us this morning, open the word to us, just bless us, and help us to honor and serve you today. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. This is the second to the last lesson in this series. We'll have finished 3 years with this. 3 years. And after that, after not next week, but then at the new cycle, we'll start a bunch of different series of lessons on other material. The little kids will start over again with this. And I think in 3 years or so, we come back around with that. Okay, and with this series of lessons this morning, we're going to do an overview of Revelation. And I don't know how to do an overview of Revelation where I can hit a couple things and go, okay? But your memory verse again is Revelation 1:3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that heareth the words of this prophecy. And I said it there, and keep those things written therein, for the time is at hand. And amen, because you know what is that right now? The time is at hand. I was surprised, Jeff and Debbie, we were with them last night, and he was talking, and I think you said, in New Zealand, they can't cash checks. They're becoming a cashless society over there. You know what the next step? 666. Okay? So the time is at hand. It's coming close to America. They keep threatening it. But we need to understand. It says, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things written therein. And I look at that, and I'm going, blessed is he that readeth. I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 22 at the end of this. See how fast I did the book? Verse 7 of Revelation 22. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that what? Keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Look at verse 10. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for what? The time is at hand. You see it in the beginning, you see it in the end. And for 2,000 years, believers have been looking for the return of the Savior, the coming Messiah. Things have been fulfilled that were never fulfilled then that are making it ready now. Okay, so I want you to understand that. You look at verse 20. He that testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. See, because the book of Revelation, you in the Gospels to the church, the good news of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a fourfold view, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You don't have to agree with me. I believe there's a fourfold view in the book of Revelation of the tribulation, then the millennium, and heading off into eternity. But you see, at least during tribulation, there's a fourfold view of that. And the blessing is in reading and hearing and keeping. Not just reading, not just hearing, but keeping what God says close to your heart. When you keep something, it affects how you live. We live in a day and age where there's so many professors. There are people that, you know, they can go on and you can find almost anything on the internet. Everything comes together. And you know that if you claim the name of Jesus, just claim it, and you're a religion that does so, you're a brother in Christ. No, you're not. It's one thing to know of him. It's another thing to know him as Savior, trusting in him. I don't mean to be mean. I have a brother, my last one of my siblings that has never made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ. I was on the phone with him last night after 9 o'clock, and I listened to him cry, and I listened to him talk about his wife. She's in a home because of the Alzheimer's, and he's talking about his life. He's talking about this is a man who survived a heart attack. He's surviving bladder cancer. He has prostate cancer. And I'm telling him again, I want to know you're going to be in heaven with me one day. And a religion can't take you there. Being a Baptist won't take you there, so it's not me putting down your church. He's a Catholic. Okay? He's gone for counseling from one of the deacons of his church, the elders of the Catholic Church, St. John's up there in Liverpool. But he has no peace. He goes to Mass every week. He was at Mass Saturday night, because that's the normal thing. The Catholics can go to Saturday night, and then they can party. Don't have to go out on Sunday morning. Just one of the things that happened with that. But I want you to know, he doesn't know what the Bible says, and I've given him tracts. And I gave him Gerald Fielder's book on salvation. I said, you won't read this, would you read this for me? And I challenged him again last night. Because the time is at hand. If you haven't been witnessing to your loved ones who don't know Christ, it can be eternally too late. I'm 70, my brother's 81. And he realized, he's talking, and he says, Brian, I don't have a lot of time left, do I? And I said, no, you don't. And there's only two places. And it's not found in a church. There's heaven and hell, and it's only through Jesus Christ. And I'm praying for you. He cried. He didn't pray, but he heard it again. Because what? The time is at hand. Prophecy, knowing what will happen, is in knowing what will happen in the future. It's a good testimony of Jesus, knowing the testimony of Jesus and the spirit of prophecy. Revelation 19:10, turn there. And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, see thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant of thy brethren that have testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of... Every time you witness for Christ, you are telling them their future. Do you realize that? And that their future can change. And how it can change through a person, through God the Son, who does not change. So you got to remember, application of Revelation. I was raised in a church before I got saved that took everything you were supposed to take literally, and they made it what? Allegory. And everything that it was allegory, they tried to take literally. You know, it's like, this is my flesh. So I pray over it, and it turns to his flesh. It's a picture. When you take the Lord's table, it's coming up. Guess what? You're not eating the flesh of Jesus Christ. It's a violation of the Old Testament law. Okay? We can be carnivores, but we're not cannibals. We don't eat our Savior. Okay? It's an allegory. They take it literally, what I got saved from. They try to allegorize the literal parts of this book. So as we look at this, we need to realize that the book is given to us, Old Testament. These things are written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have what? Hope. The people who are going to fully understand the book of Revelation are the ones going through it. Okay? For we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Old Testament saints, they could see a little bit of what we're having here, but they couldn't see it. We see it as we go through it. How many of you thought it would get to where it is today, 10 years ago, and how fast something has changed? What has been declared by America as the capital of Israel? It's not Tel Aviv. The rest of the world wants to make it that. They want to deny the things are getting ready. Okay, as he said, the stones have been cut. The red heifers have been grown. They're trying to make sure there's no hair on them, but red heifers, they're preparing for what? The rebuilding and the dedication of the... Because who's going to stand in the temple and declare himself God? It won't be Jesus, it'll be him, 3.5 years into this thing. Okay, so you have the different things here. The background of this lesson, at the time Revelation was written, you're talking 90 AD, the Roman Emperor Domitian, was a cruel and murderous ruler. He had the Apostle John exiled to the island of Patmos, a rocky island 6 miles wide and 10 miles long. And it was because the word of God and the testimony of Jesus that John was taken prisoner, the last of the apostles. This was where Rome had sent their prisoners to work in mines, and it was there that John received the vision of the book of Revelation that we read and believe today. So the background of that. Now we're going to start in Revelation chapter 1, and we're going to go from Revelation 1 through Revelation 20 this morning, word by word. You ever seen those commercials where they turn and they tell you everything and then all of a sudden they speed everything up so you can see this thing was done at this the time you're going to be on this, it's covered by this and it's covered by that and you know you can't claim this? Well, that's why I got to read this. So you ready for that? No. No. In Revelation chapter 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things that must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto the servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ in all the things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of the prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. You're going to remember here, God is giving a message, and he starts off and he's telling about it, and the first thing he reveals, you need to know that the book from cover to cover is about God. It's about Jesus Christ, and it's his revelation. And the rock that followed them was Christ. It's not about you and me, it's for you and me, but it's about him. And here we're getting a revelation of it, you know, and so many people, they want to keep Jesus on the cross. I always like pointing back, there is a cross behind me, but there's no crucifix because he's not being put to an open shame. He was crucified once, buried, and risen again, okay? And now he sits at the right hand of the Father making what? Intercession for you and me. And we need to see him. But you don't see him as lowly Jesus, beaten, scourged, mocked, spit upon, nailed to the cross. The sacrifice, in Hebrews it tells us, was once for all. Now how do you see him? Jump down to verse 10 of Revelation 1. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in the book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and Smyrna and Pergamos and Thyatira and Sardis and Philadelphia and Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. And his head and his hairs were white like wool and white as snow, and his eyes were as a what? Those who reject him, they won't see the Jesus of the cross anymore. Revelation tells us he had eyes as a flame of fire. And his feet were feet like unto fine brass, and they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. They're not coming to a cross listening for a gentle voice saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We can still preach that today, but not when this starts to take place. The voice of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. You can't look at him at this point. What happened to Paul when he saw Jesus on the road? blinded him. That's just a foreshadowing of what's taking place there. Brighter than the sun. Judy and I, we do our prayers and our devotions. We claim our prayer promises on healing and everything. We did it this morning. And I can't look into the light over the top of our bed. She lays down, I lay down, her head's on my shoulder. We read our Bible together. We claim those promises, start praying for everybody. But I look up at that light and it blinds me. And the next thing you know, all I see is that stinking bulb. And I go to read, and then we go to do our Proverbs, and I can't read the passage. See, because now it says, blessed is he that readeth, and what? They that hear the words of this prophecy. Because at the end of Revelation, it says, in every eye shall see him. Right now, men's hearts are blinded emotionally. They will not be able to understand the brightness of his coming. And in his right hand, seven stars, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I what? See, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the... And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. Isn't that the message you hear over and over again? Be thou not afraid, nor be afraid. I'm kind of getting it twisted around with Joshua, okay? Tell you, don't be afraid. The message of the angels to the shepherds, fear not. The message to Joseph and the announcement from the angel that the child born of his wife will be the Son of God, fear not. Take her unto thee. The message of the gospel is fear not. We live in a world where their hearts are failing them for fear. And it says, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he, now you know it's Jesus, because look it. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and death. Who had them before the resurrection? Satan. But thank God our Savior took him from him. Amen. Write these things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. The Jews do not accept him now as a nation. More and more and more of them as individuals are turning to the Savior. It's not quite a revival because you got to be saved to have a revival, but the IDF forces, more and more the young people of Israel are turning to the Savior. They're learning stuff they'd never heard before and trusting him. They'll see him on the cross. They'll see him in the tomb. They'll see him resurrected. This is how the world will see him. John, when he saw him, fell at his feet as dead. People alive right now who are adults, it'll be too late for them then. They'll receive strong delusion that they will what? Believe a lie. So you have this. You have the revelation of Jesus. See, this is not the Jesus of Isaiah 53. Beaten, smitten on the cross for you and me. This is who he is in eternity. Chapter 2 goes off and you have the church at Ephesus. Okay? And they give good things about the churches. This is the early church at the time right after the resurrection. Because are these literally represented churches at the time of the book that John was writing? There were physical churches. It also represents the divisions of the church age. Okay? So you had Ephesus, the beginning of that. And they started off, and he tells them all the good things that they had and how they, in verse 2 it says, I know thy works, thy labor, thy patience, that thou cannot bear them which are evil and hast tried them, which say they are apostles and are not, and has found them liars, and has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. And then he says, nevertheless, I have something against thee, because what? Now, Even as they say that there were literal churches that this was going through, but these also represent stages in the church age. You know what also these things remind me of? Different periods of time in the Christian's walk. Just in a practical sense, I want to understand. How many are you as excited about your salvation as you were the day you got saved? I don't know about you. I couldn't walk and talk. And I'm serious. I've given my testimony of that. But they left their what? Because they got used to it. In a marriage, you know what you do? You fail to love and hold up your spouse because you get used to them. And you know what you do? You take for granted the relationship. Likewise, ye husbands, do all of them according to knowledge, honoring the wife as the weaker vessel and heirs together the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Do we live each day honoring Jesus Christ? Because it's not a church. It's a relationship. So I just asked you this morning, you look at Revelation, what testimony you have before the world? Left their first love. You look at Smyrna, okay? He goes from Ephesus, and he goes to Smyrna. Look at verse 10. And he says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a what? And what's the crown of life for? Those that love his appearing. You know, sometimes people, am I in trouble, boss? He's walking toward the front. Okay. So, you know what happens? You have a struggle. But you can earn a crown of life, and that's given to those who love what? His appearing. You know what I... I know dogs are a picture of unsafe men, but you know what dogs do? They don't have any sense of time, and I love to watch. I go over. We can do it with Nala. She's 7 now. And Judy leaves the house, and Nala jumps up on the back of our couch looking out the windows and sits there with her head. And if Judy doesn't come back in 15 minutes, she pouts, comes over, jumps in my lap. She's there for a little bit, and then she's back looking out the window. And the minute she hears that Honda coming down the road, it's, and she's running to the back door. It's funny to watch Chewy with Mike's family. When they come back, it's like, oh, you've left me. It's been an eternity. I'm so glad to see you again. Right? Because they love our appearing. Some people don't want the Savior to come back. They got stuff they want to get done in their life first. You know, Jesus, I want you to come back today, but could you wait till after, what day is it, Brianna? December 27th. When she becomes Mrs. Halsdorf, okay? So, aren't you glad that he comes in the spring? Okay. No, so they're going to get a blessing for that. Loving is appearing. The church at Pergamos. And an angel unto the church at Pergamos write these things, he say, which hath sharp sword of two edges. That's Jesus Christ. He talks about he knows their work and where Satan's seat dwelleth. Okay, now I want, you know, if you want to study historically, you can find that moved off the shore of Israel out onto an island. You want to find out about that? There's the Bible scholar. Ask him or ask pastor. Okay? They dry their nets on the isthmus that goes out to that now. It's prophecy given in the Old Testament. All right? He knows what, and he says there, and the days wherein the Antipas, my faithful martyr, he was killed for Jesus, was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. That's Mystery Babylon moved out there. Now it's kind of closer to going to be Jerusalem. All right? If you don't know about that, ask pastor. I have a few things against thee, because thou hast them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, and taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Nicolaitans, clergy over laity, a special priest class, part of being a Baptist, Bible is sole authority of all matters of faith and practice, autonomy of the local church, priesthood of the, we're all priests for him. No Nicolaitan here. But you know what they did? The church at Pergamos compromised and joined itself with the world. That's what Balaam taught them to do to pull down Israel in the Old Testament. We talked about that in the last couple of weeks. Okay? So they joined themselves to the world. We have it right now. It's hard to delineate between true believers and the world, isn't it? Oh, I believe in Jesus. Oh, do you? Do you? Then you go to Thyatira. Okay? Verse 18, write these things, saith the Son of God, whose eyes are like a flame of fire. See, he's pointing back to who he is and how they will see him. I know thy works, thy charity and thy service, thy faith and thy patience and thy works, and that the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, who calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication, to eat things offered, sacrificed unto idols. She's the mother of harlots. That's the eschewing in the church age time of a certain religious group. You don't know who it is? Ask Pastor Kenny. I'm going to say that so many times, he can't get even with me because Brother Jeff is preaching. Normally he gets even with me during the service when I do that to him. Okay, so you have this thing. Okay, they had charitable works, they had faith, but they compromised with an evil teacher. You see it? I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants. Then you go on, it goes to Sardis. Excuse me. Yeah, Sardis. Okay. Chapter 3, and unto the angel of the church of Sardis write these things, saith he of the seven spirits of God, the seven stars, I know thy works, and thou hast a name, that thou livest and art what? Kind of lines up with the Dark Ages. Be watchful and strengthen the things that remain that and are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast, and every Christian needs to learn to repent. Every believer should have be part of their life. Whether you want to acknowledge your stuff, when you look at your life, you look at what you say during the day, you look at what you do during the day, does it all to the glory of God? We need to tell the Lord, I see that. I know that's not right. Change my heart. Please forgive me. So you have that. Sardis, they had a few things that are right, but they had a big name and they were spiritually dead. You have the church of Philadelphia, verse 7 of chapter 3. That's the church of the open door. And why? He says that he that is holy and true, and he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works, and behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast little strength and hast kept my word and not denied my name. That's caused salvation to travel from compass to compass on this earth. The church of the open door. The greatest time of evangelism. You know what churches are doing today? They're turning inward and not outward. I'd like to think that we're a holdover of the Church of Philadelphia. Because we hold his, keep his word, not denied his name. And he says, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, people who claim the promises of Israel, There's religions today that do that. You want to know the names of them after? You can ask me. Ask Brother Williams. Okay, ask Pastor. I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and know that I have loved thee, because thou hast kept the word of what? The one thing that is promised. When the King James Bible came out in 1611, you have the greatest time in evangelism in this world. English is the language of commerce in this world, and has been. The newer Bibles, evangelistic zeal has waned because they haven't kept the word. I will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which thou hast, that no man may take thy crown. It brings us to the church at Laodicea. And that's a church that's lukewarm, wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked, and spiritually corrupt. That's the church that will go into the tribulation, not even realizing that it had started. Is there some believers in there? Yes. But he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him and sup with him and he with me. Believer, practical application. You open the door of your heart when you accepted Christ as your Savior, but until you invite him into the other areas, he knocks there. And he will not enter if you don't open your heart to him. And that's why we have problems in other areas of our lives as believers. And he's saying, I want to come in, but you have free will. Church of Laodicea had free will. Are they going to invite him in? So we see the churches there. And Laodicea reminds us overall spirituality of Christianity today. I'm at the corner yesterday. God's got a sense of humor. This girl would come by. I don't want to be right. I'm looking at this girl. I'm looking at all the tats on her body, the way half her hair was shaved, the other half came over and laid over it, the way it was colored and stuff. If I had pushed her, she'd have told me she's not binary. She's non-binary, if you know what I mean. If you don't know what that means, ask Pastor Kenny. I guarantee you, from what I know, that girl had been abused. Now she's mad. She's mad at God. And she went by, she wouldn't take a track from Michael. She wouldn't take a track from Kevin on the other corner. And she'd come over by me. And she had to stand there. And the lights kept messing up. And I'm singing Amazing Grace. And what a day that will be. And what can wash away our sin. And I'm preaching in between the verses. And she's huffing and puffing and spitting in front of me. And I'm standing 3 feet behind her. And I'm going, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And I'm going on and I'm preaching and then I'm singing these hymns. And she's getting all upset. And the light messed up for over 10 minutes. God had a reason for her to hear it. And as she's leaving, I said, God bless you. Have a good day. And then she walked towards Michael and I thought she was going to knife him when she got to the other side. They need the Savior. If you think it's bad now, wait until we're taken out. He who letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. So we see this, you know, John foresees the rapture of the church. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, and I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, and said, what? Come up hither. You want to get messed up? Okay. I want you to know. You don't have to agree with me. You don't have to believe me. I believe that if Israel had accepted Christ as their Messiah, when Stephen was preaching to them, by 70 AD, we would have been ushered in. The Jews would have accepted him. We'd be in, already 1,000 years would have gone by. We'd be entering eternity by now. They rejected him. Could have been 3.5 years back then. God has a plan. I've talked to Pastor Kenny. Do you see this? And he goes, yeah, Pastor, I see this. Preacher, I see this. I see that. And we're talking back and forth. And I want you to know, okay, it's a 7-year period. The first half's tribulation, second half's the great tribulation. God has the thing set up, so if they had accepted him, we could have gone forward. They didn't. So now we see the revelation of the church age, and we see coming in to the time of the great tribulation. And it is not for you and me. We will be in heaven looking down at it. It is to turn the Jews back to their Messiah who they've rejected. With our divine appointments, Judy and I had a chance. We met and we got to talk to and found out this woman that we were praying for, a divine appointment with things she was going through, was a Messianic Jew. I've mentioned to you before. And Judy's going, my first Messianic Jew I got to talk to about Jesus. And now that lady texts my wife. We're back and forth. From when we were in Marco Island, we went down there with Heather. They've got to accept him as their Messiah. The tribulation is for that, not for you and me. It's primarily to bring God's people to himself. There's a rapture. You don't have to agree with me. There's more than one rapture in the book of Revelation. All right? But the one that's important to you and me is right after he's done talking to the churches. And you don't hear him talk to the churches anymore from chapter 4 here. You don't find the church spoken of until chapter 19 when Jesus comes back. Do you understand me? So you've got this thing. You got the foreseeing of the rapture of the church. There's no mention of the Christ or the body of Christ, the church in the tribulation, chapters 6 through 18, because the church, the body of Christ, born-again believers, is raptured up to heaven. It opens in chapter 4 and verse 1, taken up again, and then you have the return in Revelation chapter 19 when he comes back on a white horse. So we have the tribulation of the world in chapters 5 through 18. The world's headed for big trouble. It will last 7 years. It's the time when God unleashes a series of judgments. The seals, the trumpets, and the vials. They increase in progressing, resulting in 3.5 years being the last 3.5 years being worse than the first. Because at 3.5 years, the Antichrist will stand in the temple and declare himself to be who? And then greater wrath is poured out. You study it. You turn around. There's false peace. There's murder everywhere. There's famine. There's great earthquakes. The sun and the moon will be darkened. Hail and fire mingled with blood will rain down on one-third of the sea becomes blood. One-third of the sea becomes blood. Poison waters. Gee, I wonder if that has anything to do with that red stuff that grows in the water that's poisoning so many things. And they go, it's some places it's almost red like. I don't know. Maybe it's a precursor. I don't know, but I want you to understand. One-third of the sea becomes blood, the poison waters. Locusts come up out of the ground and torture people 5 months. Locusts with the head of men and stingers like scorpions. I don't want to be here. You don't want your relatives to go to hell, right? But if they're not saved, if they're living, they're going to go through this. Things are going to happen to you. Think pain is now. Wait until you have that. It'll torture them. 5 months. Okay? Tribulation of the world. Those that don't repent are scorched with heat. There's several reasons for that terrible time. It's to punish Israel and get their attention. They'll look for their Messiah. Every time Israel got comfortable in the blessings of God, instead of looking for the blesser, he didn't have to do anything to him. He just pulled back his presence and his blessing. And then their own sin nature, and the people they were dealing with, the Gentiles, persecuted them so much, they would do what? Turn back to their God. They rejected Jesus Christ, and this whole thing is to make them look and to see their Messiah. It's to punish Israel, get their attention. It's to punish those who claim Israel's land. Do any of you have any ideas? Do you know what the Crusades were about? It wasn't about freeing the Holy Land. It was taking it for Mystery Babylon, mother of harlots. They tried to get it. I don't know how that works out. I'm going to see it from heaven. But those who claim that land, that is a title deed belonging to God's chosen people. And we're to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We're to pray for Israel. They're the only people on the face of the earth that the only problem they have and the reason people want to kill them is because they're Jews. And every Muslim believes from sea to sea they want to wipe them out. Because they're Jews. It happened during the Dark Ages. Hitler, who was not the Antichrist but a precursor of him, tried to do what? Wipe out the Jews. They fight over land. Everything in history is about that little strip of dirt, 60 miles wide, 120 miles long. It's not Ukraine and Russia. That's an important thing, yes. That's a different thing. It's about what's going on there. And people try to blame them. Do you know Hamas is the one who's keeping them from the food? To make Israel look bad. That's why Israel thinks the IDF has to come and take over the area so they can get it put out instead of the lies being put forward by our news. It's to punish those who want to claim Israel's land. It's to punish the inhabitants of the earth for the sin and to cause them to repent. And it's to punish those that mistreat the Jews. The only hope I have for America at this time is that they're rescued on the wings of an eagle. Aren't you glad that Benjamin Franklin didn't get his way and the national bird would have been a turkey? Could you see prophecy then? On the wings of a gobbler who would fly into the tree and roost. I will bless them that bless thee, and I will. Modern Christianity, so much of Christianity, so-called Christianity, even some born-again Christians, are turning their back. Professing Christians, I don't know if they're truly saved, professing Christians are turning their back on Israel. You cannot be right with God and do that. Don't believe me? Search it out. One of the only things that's holding back Israel or America from turning into the craziness of Europe is our support of God's chosen people. I think it's held back. The judgment was going from Tel Aviv to Israel. It also was a precursor had to be set up. So we have that. Middle of the tribulation, everyone is going to worship the Antichrist and take his mark, Revelation 13. All those who don't take the mark will be killed if they are caught. And you won't be able to buy yourself food. You won't be able to do business because you don't have the mark. I can remember back when I first got saved, everybody was afraid at that time. There was a monster supercomputer over in Europe, and you know what the name of the computer was? The Beast. He had to be there. 99 reasons Jesus is coming back in 1999. Got to get ready. All those who don't take the mark will be killed. Those who take the mark will receive the wrath of God and be damned. Revelation 14, 9 through 11. Turn there. I have just enough time. Revelation 14. 9. And a third angel followed, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture. In other words, it's not diluted. It's not going to be a little bit easier to take. into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment shall ascendeth ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints, they that are keep the commandments of God in the faith of Jesus. The end of the tribulation takes place with the battle of the Armageddon, chapter 16, verse 14. Let's see if I got the right place here. For they are spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth into the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. See, they have to keep their garments white. You know how a tribulation saint makes it through? They have the testimony of Jesus and love not their life unto faith plus works. We got it easier now. Get them saved now. And he gathered them into one place, verse 16, called the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, "It is done." And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, and such as not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came to remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague and the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. You got Armageddon. This is where the Gentile armies will be gathered to fight against Israel. What happens when they fight against Israel? You get through the chapter, you see Mystery Babylon in chapter 17. There's certain things about her. You want to know more about her, ask Pastor Kenny. Chapter 18, a continuation, because you have religious Babylon, Mystery Babylon, and then you have the business side of things. For the love of money is the root of, it's not a root of all kinds of evil, it is the root of. So what do you worship? Who do you worship? Do you worship him or the things? So they're utterly destroyed. Then you find in Revelation 19 and 20, you have the millennial kingdom. Got to remember. And after these things, I heard a great voice, verse 9, chapter 19, of people in heaven saying, "Hallelujah, salvation, glory, and honor, and power unto the Lord our God, for true and righteous are his judgments." And he turns around, you hear a voice of many waters. You come down to this, and you see the judgment that's falling there. And in verse 9, it says, "Saith unto me, blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these things are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me," and I already read you that verse, "I am thy fellow servant of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw an open I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse." There was a guy on a white horse earlier, but he had a bow and no arrows. This guy has a sword. The one with the sword is the real one, okay? "And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness doth he judge to make war. And his eyes were," see, it tells you who he is because it gives you a reference back to the beginning of the book. "And his eyes were as a what? And on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the..." In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Not a God, as some of the New World Translation says. Was God. The same was in the beginning with God. He's the Creator. All right? "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in the linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth go a sharp sword with which he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." And what happens? Battle's taken. The beast and the false prophet are done with what? They're cast into the lake of fire. All right. You turn around, Revelation 20, angel comes down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit, and Satan is taken, that great dragon without legs, a Chinese dragon. That's why he's a worm. Okay, you want to know more about it? Ask Pastor Kenny. Okay, he turns around and he's bound for 1,000 years. That's the millennial reign. After 1,000 years of perfect peace, perfect government, perfect judgment, perfect environment, he's let go. And the people who were born during the millennium and people who've come through this, some of them rebel and follow him. And then God speaks and he's done. And his followers are cast in the lake of fire. And we go off into eternity. We're going to look more at the new heavens and the new earth next week as we finish up. And yes, I had to skip parts. And yes, I had to keep from giving more application. But you need to know, blessed is he that readeth, and they that heareth the words of this prophecy, and keepeth what? Those things written. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know what's coming. You need to be able to tell others, because there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And all God's people said, and I still went too long.